chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1. You know what I do love? I love getting with it, getting to it, and let's preach the Word of God. And here's the reality is, I want us, and I need to work really hard, because if the basis for our services is the preaching of the Word of God, then I need to make it to where people can understand it the best I can. Obviously, the Holy Spirit has to move on hearts and illuminate them. But I want to be interesting. I want it to be relevant. I want it to be something you can apply in your lives. And that's my heart's desire. And so, 1 Peter chapter 1, let's read these verses and I'll do a little review so you can kind of see this. We're going to read verses 13 through 16. I'm going to give you a review. We'll go back and read verses 13 through 16 again. Let's read that. He says, wherefore, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, just so you're reminded what we've gone through so far in the first 12 verses. Here's the whole perspective of 1 Peter. The whole perspective is dealing with suffering. Do you see this in verse 7? He says in verse 6, wherefore ye greatly rejoice about this salvation that he talks about, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The whole theme of 1 Peter is when we go through struggles, when we go through trials, when we go through hard times. And so it's important that we are grounded in this. And so what we've learned thus far is there's a couple of things. One, when you go through tough times, remember that great inheritance that you have. Remember that you're a child of the King. Remember that you're an heir to the great things that are talked about in the Scriptures and that you'll be able to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. It then went on after it talked about the trials. It said, you know, they'll be for a little while. If our trials are for this entire life that we live here, in view of eternity, it's a very small time, isn't it? And there are tough times, difficult times, but I will tell you this, what the prophets looked at, we saw last week in verses 10 through 12, it's this great salvation that we have. And so if you're saved and you're going through tough times, remember this, what a blessing that we had the completed Word of God, that we fully understand all these truths related to salvation and we can rejoice. And so with all of that, Peter brings us to that point there where he says, now, or wherefore, or therefore, or because of all this I've said, he says that in verse 13. Now, with all of that, that says this, when you're going through trials, think of that great inheritance. When you're going through trials, think of the salvation that the prophets looked into, that the angels desired to look into, and they searched diligently the Scriptures, the Bible tells us. Now look at verse 13 again. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Here's the interesting thing. Look back at verse 7, if you will. I want to bring out one thought. Do you see this where it continues about our trials? He says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's the first mention of the return of Jesus Christ. The second mention of the return of Jesus Christ is mentioned in verse 13. He says, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so, it's important for us. There's two thoughts that I think embody what we're going to talk about tonight in verses 13 through 16. So when you're going through struggles, I believe this. One is, you see the title of my message, it's Be Ye Holy. Now that is, it's so daunting, I believe Christians ignore it. And they say, no one can be holy, and so we don't even try. The whole end of a believer's life is that we would be like Jesus Christ and that we would be holy. And I believe this, that it is one of the remedies, it's one of the keys that will enable us to endure difficult trials, temptations, and issues in our lives if we are holy as God in Jesus Christ was holy. So that's the first thought. Tonight, the end result is that we are striving to be holy. And then the Bible gives us some keys to that. What the second thought is, or really the first thought, but then the overall thought is to be holy. But the first thought, then, coming in the second place after the first thought, I'm kidding. But it's this. It's that we need to focus on the return of Jesus Christ. We talked about it a little bit in our teen class this morning. It is, we do not look for the return of Jesus Christ like they did in the first century. Because they were with Him. Jesus didn't leave until 30 AD, 35 AD, whatever calendar you want to use in that ballpark timing, right? And so they were still alive that saw Him, and they were telling the truth because Jesus said, you're in the last days. We are in the last days. But you and I, you know, I turned them to 2 Peter chapter 3 that dealt with the scoffers. You and I are just like the scoffers, but we don't scoff about the return of Jesus Christ. But I don't think we look for it. I don't think we anticipate it. I don't think we expect it. And here's what's even worse. For some of us, I don't think we want it. If you don't want the return of Jesus Christ, it's because we've become too entangled with the things of this world. So all of this, Peter's saying this. He's saying, what a great inheritance. We're going to have trials. He says, boy, this great salvation that the prophets and angels looked into and all of this. And he says, now wherefore? After all this, you've got this great inheritance. You've got this great salvation. Now let's look at this tonight. And I won't belabor the points tonight, but he says this, gird up the loins of your mind. And so now here's the key. I mean, it's, you know, some people would say, well, what in the world does that mean? Any of our teenagers know what gird up the loins? How many know what gird up your loins means? Anybody? Any of our men? What does gird up your loins mean? Absolutely, right? I mean, so, you know, you would, you know, wrap those around so you basically have what might look like pants today, right? So you could run and the battle, right? Even with the prodigal son's father, right? I mean, he went running to his son, right? And so they wore robes. So here's the key. You know what gird up your loins would be. It's like, hey, let me just turn you over to, just listen to this. I won't turn you there. But listen to Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. It's one of the first places it was mentioned. It says, and thus shall ye eat. This was the Passover meal that the Israelites were having. And so God was getting them ready to move on out. He was getting them ready. And he said, and thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And so I give you this because the reason the Bible would say, you know, gird up the loins of your mind is we're going on a journey. We need to get our mind straight, and we need to be focused, I believe, on the revelation, the return of Jesus Christ. You following me? And so it's like when they gird up their loins at the Passover, they wore their shoes, they had their staff, and they ate the meal in haste. It's because when the call comes, are you ready to go, right? That's the same way with the return of Jesus Christ. We need to gird up the loins of our mind so that when Jesus comes back, we're ready. We're ready. We're not surprised. We're not like the virgins that didn't have the oil in their lamp, right? We're ready for His return. But here's the sad thing is, when's the last time you prayed, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus? When's the last time you looked for His coming? And I want to tell you this, our greatest motivation for His coming needs to be because we want to be with Jesus. Because He is the prize. He is the joy set before us. He is what eternity is all about. It's about Jesus Christ. He is the greatest motivation we should have. So when it says this, it says, gird up the loins of your mind. And so I believe this. It's 2 Corinthians 10:5. Listen to this. You know this verse. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Here's what the Bible says. Gird up the loins of your mind. What are you thinking about this past week? How does that fit within the will of God in your life? Gird up the loins of your mind. And then he says here, and I'll take you to the next point because I think they fit so well together. He says, be sober. You see that? Look at verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. Now, to be clear what that word means there, it just means don't be drunk is what that would mean. But there's the spiritual context, right? So he means be sober. So people could say, well, he's just talking about drunkenness. No, you see the whole context. Gird up the loins of your mind. That's a spiritual thing where we need to, you know, bring every thought and imagination into captivity. And then he says, be sober. And don't be drunk. Don't be intoxicated with the things of the world, if you will. Be sober. Make sure your priorities are straight. And so there's a direction that Peter's going here. What he's saying is, it's all headed toward this focus of the return of Jesus Christ. And so, again, what I believe this is all going to do will help us deal with difficulties. Gird up the loins of your mind. What happens in our minds when we deal with difficulties is we become negative. We feel sorry for ourselves. Focus on your salvation. Focus on the coming of Jesus Christ. That's really the end post of our lives. Focus on Christ all of time. Don't you love that? The world hates Jesus, and we are seeing that more and more and more in our lives, aren't we? I mean, it's just becoming crazy. People think they can say, don't talk to me about Jesus. And they think I'm breaking the law if I talk to them about Jesus. Now, if people tell me don't talk to them about Jesus, I don't. I shake the dust off my feet and I move on and I'll pray for them. I'll trust in the Lord. But we're in this society now where people think, you know, it's against the law to put a track on someone's door. And it's not. And so the world is attacking us, but gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. What are your priorities? What are your priorities? Are you bringing every captivity into the Lord and all your imaginations under the captivity of Jesus Christ? Are you? Are you sober-minded? What are your priorities? What are you headed to? Right, we talked about our seniors this morning. I hope you understand this. I would love to ask that question. I would love for me to have a spontaneous time of testimony. And you know what I'd love one day? Because I won't ask you to do this, but it'd be neat. Is if you felt impressed of the Lord to come up. Imagine if I asked you this right now. You're like, oh, heart attack. You know, 18-year-old died in church service. But if I ask you, come and tell me how mechanical engineering is going to make any eternal difference. If you don't know that answer, what are you going to school for? Yeah, Sister Rat was like, I'm not going to get mechanical engineering, right? Yeah, I'm trying to look between you, but I must be, you know, struggling a little bit, right? Welding. Welding is not evil, is it? It's not. How is being a welder going to make a difference eternally? Because your anchor is going to rust. And you aren't going to care that much longer for that anchor anyway. It really did look good. But who needs a dressy anchor? Reality is, what difference is it going to make? And the Bible says this when it says, gird up the loins of your mind. You need to think about it. You need to think about it. And I'm telling you this, my son needs to think about it. If going into accounting is going to make you just a greedy Ebenezer Scrooge, and you're just going to be just a miser with your money and not generous with people and the Lord, don't go there. Better for you to work at whatever the lowliest job that you can imagine and serve God than get a degree, go off, make the big bucks, and not serve the Lord. Every gray-haired person that's a believer, the regrets they have, they weren't serious-minded about the things of God and they wish they could go back. They wish they could do things over again and serve the Lord because, you know what? Maybe we watch too many movies. Maybe we watch too much TV. You know, is TV evil in and of itself? No, but no one can name me a good show anymore. So I'm not here, you know, Property Brothers. Maybe that's okay. I don't know. I saw it on vacation. So now I'm all of a sudden I'm on the World Wide Web with Property Brothers. But it's this. Let's not waste our time with that. Gird up the loins of your mind. Make sure every thought is, are you repenting of thoughts? Men, do you recognize your sin as it flows through your mind and you repent before it goes any further? And then the Bible says, be sober. Don't be drunk with the world, that you're so enamored with the things of the world that we're just, hey, I can't wait. And so here's what it says. Then the third thought here, the third thought tonight is hope to the end. Do you see that? Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace. Now, I want to tell you this. It's interesting. Hope to the end. You know I love the word hope. I do. I really believe it's what this world needs. They need some true hope. They need some anchored hope. They need some solid hope. They need that confident expectation. Hope to the end. Now, this is to believers, right? So he's saying to believers, he's saying this, gird up the loins of your mind. Be serious-minded. Get your priorities straight. And he's saying, and hope to the end. Remember, why is he telling us that? When you're going through struggles, it messes with your mind. When you're going through hard times, you're like, what's it all about, right? I mean, when the crazy things happen, when tragedies happen, you've got to get sober. You've got to gird up the loins of your mind. You've got to hope to the end, because there are some things that we endure that are going to be just nearly impossible without God. Nearly impossible without God. I haven't dealt with that. But if God pleases to allow that to enter into my life, I better be sober-minded, have my priorities straight, and think right, and hope to the end. We do know the end, the Bible says. But now I want you to notice this one phrase. Do you see this? I love this. Hope to the end for the grace. Now, it's interesting. Hope to the end for the grace. Now, our hope is for the grace. Now, does that make sense? Here's what it says. Let's look at the whole phrase, but I want to break it down. Hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, imagine this. Hope to the end for the grace that is, let me make sure I get the words right. Hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So here's going to be a day for all believers. Jesus is coming. We're going to see our Savior. We shall be like Him. We shall see Him face to face. Here's what the Bible says. Hope to the end for the grace. Now, the great day will be the day we see Jesus face to face, won't it? We'll be able to see the Savior that we've never seen. But here's the thing. He says, hope to the end for the grace. I really believe what he means there is, what does grace mean? Unmerited favor. Hope to the end for the grace. When we see Jesus, I really believe what we'll think about is how unworthy we are to be a Christian. How unworthy we are to be a child of God. Hope to the end for the grace. And let me tell you, if you put these together, again, when you're dealing with struggles, it's this gird up the loins of your mind. You've got to get your mind straight so that every imagination, every thought is brought into the captivity of Jesus Christ, so that you're thinking straight. Be sober-minded. Get your priorities right. And hope to the end. Understand this. Jesus is coming back and you and I don't deserve it. Make sure you understand. Hope to the end for the grace. There's not one person in this room. There's not one person in this community. And there is a spirit of arrogance in the United States of America that people actually think Jesus owed them His death. Jesus owed none of us anything. And the more we learn about Scriptures, not only how unworthy we are, but how blessed we are. You understand that? And I purposely didn't use the term lucky. There's not a saved person that's lucky. There's a saved person that has been overwhelmed with mighty grace and overwhelmed with blessings of God. Are you saved today? Then I'll tell you this, then keep that focus on the hope to the end for the grace that will bring the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's coming again. He's coming again. Focus on the return of Jesus Christ in those difficulties. I will tell you this. One of the reasons I know it's to escape the difficulties. But I want us to get beyond that. When you're going through difficulties, I know that's when we do think about Jesus coming back more. It is, isn't it? It's when we think about that. But not just to escape the difficulties, but it's that we will be with Him. That's what eternity is. Do you love Jesus Christ so much that you can't wait to be with Him? It's kind of like, you know, there's a lot of romances that happen now, internet romances, and, you know, you get our armed forces guys, and, you know, I mean, it's, you know, what is it? Absence makes the heart grow fonder, right? That's the old term. But is it making your heart grow fonder to Jesus Christ, or is He just so far away that you've forgotten who He is? That's why it's important to be reminded. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end. And now I'm going to quickly go through these others. It says, as obedient children. Look at this in verse 14. This is Peter talking. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. And so I've really broken these out into two thoughts, but I'll flash back and forth. And so it's as obedient children, not according to former lusts. Here's what I mean. It's this. I tell parents this. Train up a child when he is young, and when he's old, he will not depart from it, right? Now, here's the reality. How old are all your kids now? Remind me. That's bad. That's bad that I ask you. He's asking Angela. We'll get back with that. 16, 15, 12, 9. 16, 15, 12, and 9. This is my thought. I believe that verse has passed you. Train up a child when he is young, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That doesn't mean all hope is lost, so I'm not here, you know, say, oh, it's over. Emily, loser. But no, I wasn't saying that, but I believe this. The time period of when they're young has passed. So now here's what you have to do. And there is a relevance with this verse. You're like, where are you going, Steve? I'm just picking on Will. Here's the reality. Now what you have. You're still responsible to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But if you realized you took a wrong turn, you know, this is not the right road, it's over there. What you have to do with your kids is even harder. Not only do you have to train them, but you have to untrain all the things they learned that were wrong. You see, in essence, when your children are born, you get a blank slate with your kids, right? Now, they're sinful creatures. There's no doubt about it. But a lot of things they learn, right? And they learn it from mom and dad. Train up a child when he is young, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. There's still hope for you. That's why those videos will be excellent for you. You want to get it right, get it straight, because, man, life is a lot smoother and easier. It's harder to untrain than to retrain. But that's where we're going to get back with us. Here's the reality for all of us that are saved. The thing about being saved is this. Do you see that passage? Let's just think about this. Peter's encouraging us, get our minds right, be sober, hope to the end, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. What Peter's saying is this. Now you need to obey. Don't be like you were. And now that's the hard task, isn't it? You're saved, but you've got all these bad habits, all this baggage. And what Peter's saying is, be obedient. And so the application here is what you have to do is this. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but I'll guarantee you well over 50% of those that are sitting here right now, you struggle reading the Bible on a daily basis with gusto and passion. I love it, and I want you never to drop this. 50% don't even read it every day. 30% of the remaining 50%. And where did I get these stats? Hall.com. Making them up. 30% of the remaining 50%. What you're doing is you're just reading verses to check a box. Keep it up. It should convict you. Glean over the precious Word of God. Here's the reality. Just as with these videos, I've given Randall and Rachel some videos and Gail some videos, revolutionize you. I just can't wait. It'll be like, sit, roll over, beg, bark. It's just wonderful. It's fun. No, not all those things. They'll be like, that guy's abusive. Those are just fun. And you know you really got it, right? But here's the reality. Same way with Christianity. What you must do with your life is you must have training sessions for yourself. You must untrain the bad habits, not go back to those former lusts, right? Because what Paul says, he said it in Ephesians that we saw. In fact, let's just turn over to Ephesians real quick. I want you to look at that verse. Look over to Ephesians chapter 4, just a few books back, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. While you're turning over there, Peter again said, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. What we did in the past, what you have to understand, we should have great patience with lost people. Lost people sin and they rebel and they do it in ignorance. They have no understanding of their accountability before a holy and righteous God. You understand that? They understand it in some sense, but they don't understand it like you and I. You understand? Does it make sense? When you're saved, boy, you understand that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so look at this in Ephesians 4, verse 17. Paul says this to the church at Ephesus. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. You'll see some overlaps here with 1 Peter. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, what? Through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. Now turn back over to 1 Peter. What Peter's telling us here, and Paul is telling us there, is he saying, you guys had former lust. You had these bad habits that you have. What you have to do is be as obedient children. You've got to study the Bible. Get an accountability partner. Have them help you. Right? I mean, that's the whole concept of SEMO, right? Courageous men of the word. It's being accountable to other men. And what you have to do, don't lose this. Don't lose the tentacles of 2-on-1, 3-on-1. Right? You get too big, and all of a sudden it becomes too generic. It has to be very specific, right? Whether it's husband and wife that are accountable to one another, to get in the Word of God, to read the Word of God. You've got to develop new habits. You've got to want to develop new habits. You've got to be motivated to do it. Otherwise, here's what will happen. You will slip back into the former lusts. You will slip back into sin habits that you may have had before. What you have to do is you must be as obedient children. That's what Peter's telling them here. He's saying this. And now here's the whole kicker. Here's the whole kicker. And this is my last point, but it'll be a little while for this one. But he's saying this, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but be as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You know why you should be holy? Because God said so. You know why you should be holy? Because he is holy. I'm not going to preach tonight that you should be holy because there's a whole list of benefits for you and I to be holy. The reason we should be holy is because we serve a mighty and a holy God. I'm going to tell you this. What do you think the greatest attribute of God is?
Little hint what I think, but I'm
probably number one answer you're going to say, anybody think love? They're not around the throne of God going, love, love, love. Now I know I've got some whippersnappers here and they're saying, well, 1 Corinthians 13 says faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest of these is charity, but that's not the attributes that it's dealing with of God. In our lives, faith, hope, and charity, the greatest of these is love. That's what we can express to others and show love. There's no greater way to show you're a believer in Jesus Christ but by love. But I'll tell you this, I think the greatest attribute of our God is that He is holy. They are singing around the throne of God and they are declaring His holiness, His perfection, His sinlessness, and you and I need to understand that. That's the standard by which we will be judged, and that's the standard by which He's called us to, is holiness. What we need to do is look back at our lives and say, am I closer to God than I was 12 months ago? You know what will be a danger for me with the Reliant Youth Conference is what I love about it. I just love that most of these teenagers are going to come out glowing. And some of them it's just going to be because the guy next to you is glowing, because if the Lord's with us, and I'm going to pray that He is, and I ask you, the preaching of His Word will make a difference, and I believe that's what's going to happen this week. These teenagers are going to leave, and they are going to feel drawn to the Lord. They are going to be excited about the Lord more than they have been in a long time. What we need to do as churches, and we'll have to do this with our teens, and you have to do that with your teens, is this. Encourage them. Help them. And help them so that they don't fall back into their former lust, that they become obedient children. They continue to follow holiness. You know what? Let your children teach you things. I want my kids to go, Dad, I'm not going to do that. Oh, you're not. Well, I'm not either. You know, I mean, it would be good, wouldn't it? And so some of you know we use Clearplay to watch movies, and Natalie's been highly critical of us for that. No, she hasn't. But what I love about it, Natalie, I want to bring you down. You follow me? Now, Clearplay eliminates all the junk and all that, you know. So we can watch it all. No. And so there's a risk with that, isn't it? Our family probably likes movies too much. Don't you think so? Be honest. You can leave. I think we do. That's just me being dead honest with you. And so you know who starts that, who leads that? Dear old Dad. You know what I would love, and it doesn't have to be this, that's just a small thing. You know what I want coming out of Reliant Youth Conference is we need to get rid of some things. We need to change some things. Because there's a lot that's unholy in us. Right? And you know what I love? You didn't come in preaching and swinging sticks and all that, but you were like, well, we never did, right? And I'm just uncomfortable. We're pulling you down. Don't let us. Challenge him. And then you challenge us. My family's scared half to death. Mary Poppins is the only movie we're ever allowed to watch again. But I want to be clear, when I get to heaven, I won't wish I watched more movies, will I? I wish I was more holy. Do you love the Lord? I'll finish with this. This is the whole context of all this. He says, gird up the loins of your mind. And I am imagining my mind being just neatly wrapped up and tied up. You know, because I've done that the whole time, haven't I? I'm girding them up. I am. Because I want to control my mind and I want to tie it up and I want it to be disciplined with the Lord, right? I want to be sober. I want to get my priorities straight. I do. I want to have hope to the end that is so focused on the fact that I don't deserve it. I'll tell you this, I'm excited about the hope I have, and I absolutely don't deserve it. I want to tell everybody, I'm a loser. My wife says, you know, you shouldn't tell everybody. You know, I tell people this, you're probably nicer than me. That wouldn't take much. And Deb's like, you probably shouldn't tell them that. You don't know what these people are. My whole point, maybe I'll use different words, but my whole point is this, and I want to scream it from the mountaintops. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve God's grace. I don't deserve His salvation. But boy, I have the hope that you may not have, and I have the hope to the end, and that's what we need to do. But He says, be obedient children, not falling back into the former lust, but be holy as I'm holy. You've heard me say this before. I agree with it. It was a long time ago, John MacArthur. I was reading one of his books, and he said this, the litmus test of a preacher is the holiness of his people. I will take it personally, because it will be failure as me as a preacher. And I'm getting emotional. I don't know why. I don't want you to sin. One of the hardest things about pastoring children is I think there's some kids here that won't follow the Lord. And I'm responsible. I have failed if some of our kids don't follow the Lord. I believe that. I'll be held accountable for it. We ought never to be cocky if we draw nigh to the Lord. It's His grace. It's His unmerited favor. The kids, I'm telling you, you guys are great. There's not a rebellious spirit in any of our kids. I think you guys would do anything for me. I do. I'd beg you. Love the Lord. Love the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin might look interesting. It might look good. But it'll only destroy you. And let me tell you, parents, here's what we have to do. It may be our own children that cause us to go back to this truth in that we rest in the Lord, right? It may be our own children that bring the trials of life that mean we have to go back to this very message. And I believe this, the key is that we're holy. We walk with the Lord. Everybody I talk to, when I witness to them, I always wanted to get them back to sin. And when I say, have you ever lied? And they go, well, everybody's lied. And they minimize sin. I want to ask you in your heart tonight, are you holy? I don't want you to say, nobody's holy. I hope you ask in your heart, am I holy? And that's what God's commanded me to do. We want to honor the Lord. Be ye holy as I am holy. Gird up the mind. Be sober. hope to the end. Be obedient children. Don't fall back into the former lusts. I believe that if we follow those, we can draw nigh to the Lord Jesus Christ. Kids, my final thought. I love these kids. Parents, you're doing a great job. And kids, you love Jesus. If you love Jesus, you won't love sin. Oh, I beg you. Run from sin. Be ye holy as God is holy. Let's pray.